very interesting offseason shaping up for the Toronto Maple Leafs. First salvo was already fired. Kasperi Kapanen sent out of town to the Pittsburgh Penguins for a draft pick. What are you laughing at?
I was laughing at because I know you get upset when I look at mentions during the show, but I have one that says, "You are bleeping full of bleep. You hit a nerve with me there." And then the next tweet is, "Hey, Fan 590 Poobah is a friendly suggestion from a longtime listener. Give Sportsnet Ben and JD more play. They're not a good show. They're great." From Paul. Just, yeah. Polarizing. That's nice. That's what he's a polarizing.
We should
show.
Start retweeting those. The
guys
that
who say
us.
You're bleep. I prefer I don't want to encourage that, but like sometimes it's funny to me. Jim
not
is
funny
mad.
For me. It's hurtful to me. I'm very sorry.
I hit a nerve with Jim on officials. Jim the All official. Right. Sorry, Jim.
Okay. So you should apologize to me because you interrupted me with your laughing.
Sorry.
Yeah, the Maple Leafs now have a first round pick that they can dangle and trade. They also have a goaltender who's been a top five Vezina candidate before at a down year this year, has some playoff question marks, but is in the last year of his deal, could be moved as well. Looks like the trade winds are swirling around Frederik Andersen. Let's bring in Brian Burke. Brian, thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
How do you see this shaping up? What would you do if you were manning the Toronto Maple Leafs right now and you had a goalie like Frederik Andersen who could command a return in the last year of his deal and has not exactly gotten it done in the postseason?
Well, I watch the Leafs play. I'm a season ticket holder. We're a rights holder. I watch them play, and very seldom do I walk out of the building or turn off my computer and say, Freddie Andersen cost him that game. I really don't think that's the core problem of the team. I think he's a quality goaltender. We tried to get him in Calgary, tried very hard to get him. So to me, if I'm identifying flaws, the reason that the Leafs have not had playoff success, I think Freddie's partly to blame, but I don't think he's the number one cause. I think he's a quality goaltender. Now, Kyle Dubas has to listen. There's clearly interest in him, and it's all about making your team better. And no one should be untouchable when you miss the playoffs, but I don't think he's certainly not what keeps me awake at night if I'm the GM.
Yeah, I think that the way we discuss Freddie Andersen is often an oversimplification, that when the Leafs lose, like people, it's like they'll quickly look at the save percentage and they won't look at the quality of shots that the opponents got. They won't look at the game situation. They won't remember all of the other quality saves he made. I feel the same way that you do about him, just in that I don't think that he gets enough praise for the things that he does, and that he's an easy, soft target for people when they lose. I think the bigger thing is just his age and the contract and what you can actually do to reinvent this roster and to shape this roster. And also the trend in which we're seeing happen with goaltenders, which is that teams like to have the split, the shared backfield, if you will, to use a football analogy, that they like to be able to go and have two reliable guys. And if you do keep Freddie Andersen, would you expect that the Leafs would up the usage of Jack Campbell the following season? Like, does that end up having to be the play that you're eventually going to have to take miles off the tires and this is finally the season?
Yeah, I mean, the trend in the NHL, and we're seeing more goaltending controversy in this playoff round than we probably have in a long time, but the trend is to platoon, you know, to use another baseball analogy, shared backfield, whatever analogy you want to use. But the trend is, you know, the old days you wanted 60, 65 games out of your starter, and now you want more like a 50-30 split. And I know people are going to text you guys right away saying, Brian Burke's an idiot, he can't do math, that's not 82. But roughly a 50-30 split is what, you know, I talked to a couple goalie coaches about it. What is your ideal? And the ideal is a 50-30, which is very different than 65 and whatever, 17 or whatever it is. So to me, that is the trend that lets you go into the playoffs with a rested goalie, a goalie who can take on more work perhaps than a guy that played 65 games. So that is the trend. But I still think, you know, you see Montreal today after the trade they made, they're at $15 million at the goaltending position. I don't think that works either. So I think that if you're going to spend 10% of your cap on the goalie position, that's $8 million, or maybe $10 million on the goalie position, and then split the work. I think that's the trend that you're going to see, and I don't think you'll see a $10 million goaltender again.
How would the mechanics of a Frederik Andersen deal work when you're trading your number one goaltender? Like, if you trade him away, then doesn't that change the landscape of trading for the next goaltender? Or if you add a goaltender with Frederik Andersen still on the roster, everybody knows you're over a barrel to trade him away. Do you almost have to do both moves simultaneously at the same time?
Well, it's the best free agent market for goaltenders this year than it's been in a while. There's going to be a number of quality goaltenders available, and that the trick there is if you could, you know, if you have a guy that you want to sign and you have and you know what he's looking for and you think you can get it done, can you move the starter? So I don't think Freddie's the problem, but I think when you miss the playoffs, no one should be untouchable. So if I'm Kyle, I would listen on Freddie for sure, but I just. He has gotten, I think, what you said earlier, he's gotten more blame when they lose than he deserves.
So the reason this like even came up when we were talking about splits is just what's been happening in Vegas. And, yeah, like you were mentioning, the trend around the league, that this is what teams like to have. They like to have that split. Do you think coaches hate this? Like, I can understand from a front office standpoint and having sports science departments that are telling you, hey, the goaltenders need more rest and it's better, it makes more sense to have to be able to hedge your bet a little bit with a goalie and that it's not the best thing to invest in. But if you're a head coach and before these playoff games especially, like, you're heading in your Vegas and you got to pick between your two goaltenders and you know that Alan Walsh is going to hammer you if you don't pick Marc-Andre Fleury. And that this all of a sudden becomes this crucial decision for you as a head coach. Is it not a lot on these guys? Like, have you spoken to anybody about them?
No, to me, it's... goaltending is 80% of your ability to win, right? It's if you don't have goaltending, you don't really have a chance. And if you don't have goaltending, it's 100% of your problem. So, to me, it's platoon system... I was adamant that I would have played Robin Leonard. I don't care about the Alan Walsh stuff. That, to me, is a team's got to put all that drama aside. I would have stayed with Robin Leonard and not played Marc-Andre Fleury. And it's not that I don't like Marc-Andre Fleury. I do. But to me, where they had two unplanned days off because of the boycott, Robin Leonard should have played and played right through. Now there's a controversy. Now he loses game five. And now everyone's saying, oh, they got to go back to Marc-Andre Fleury. Well, I wouldn't. I would stay with Leonard. But I don't know why they created this controversy. And then the drama that came with the Alan Walsh stuff just, you know, heaps it on. But, look, Hutchinson has won, what, two games now? Mike Hutchinson?
Yes.
I mean, now I don't think he's been tested severely, but he's been pretty good. And so now there will be a school of thought, especially in social media, well, you don't need to pay a goaltender. You can, if you play a good system, you can really have anyone in net. And now who plays for the Islanders? I've never seen this much controversy this deep in the playoffs about who's in net. I'm listening to the radio, and they say, well, they go with Greiss or with Varlamov. And I'm like, okay, I think I know the answer to that if I'm with the Islanders. But anyway, I'm kind of rambling, but the question is, For the Leafs, the question would be, listen on Freddie and see if there's if you can upgrade, great, but he's pretty good.
Okay, so last one then on goaltending controversies. Who do you go to in net if Markstrom is healthy?
This is rare on this show, but that's a great question. And that was a joke, guys. I thought you'd chuckle at that.
I did laugh. I was muted. Sorry. I should have unmuted for the laugh.
I don't know. I really don't know. Like to me, Markstrom has been superb. He's the only reason they're in the playoffs. He's the only reason they're still playing. He's been superb. But the kid was really good. And that one there, I think, especially if Markstrom was battling some kind of injury, which he clearly is, I'd probably lean toward coming back with the kid. Just because, you know, say, Markstrom, you're our guy if we advance. But right now, if you got some kind of sore groin or sore hamstring or whatever it is that kept him out of that game, we're going to go with the kid again and then see how he feels. But, like, they don't deserve to be playing right now. They shouldn't have made the playoffs. They shouldn't have advanced. Their goalie has stolen games for them on a consistent basis. And Thatcher Demko stole that game. They had no business winning that game. They were outplayed badly.
Yeah, no, he was amazing. Brian, appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Thanks,
Brian. Guys.
Take care, man.
There's Brian Burke.